in October of 2000. The editors of the AJC, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, were divvying up story ideas, and Miriam Longinot, who writes for the Living section, it was suggested to her that maybe she could do an article on the 10th anniversary of not MTV, but VH1. And she said, well, you know, it's interesting because back in 1970, when I was just a kid in Atlanta, there was a TV show that was 10 years ahead of its time before MTV or VH1. And they said, yeah, what was it? She's the Now Explosion. And she wrote this great article in the Atlanta paper about the Now Explosion. Bob Whitney's brainchild that's, you know, kind of set a standard for creativity and new ideas and things. And so she wrote this article that traced the Now Explosion in 1970, myself, Bob Thurgoland, Bob Whitney, R.T. Williams, a whole bunch of people. And that led to, that article led to Bob Whitney and Bob Todd and myself all getting together, emailing each other and keeping in touch. And that led to now this little, whatever this thing we're doing. So it's interesting how it all kind of came to be because of the Now Explosion. Now, the Now Explosion was a great, great experience in my life. I remember I left radio to do it for an ungodly amount of money. I think they paid me $400 a week. I think that's what they paid me. And I left a job where they had paid me $400 a week, which was pretty unheard of at the time in 1969. In fact, Al Smith, who was the general manager of WAKY in Louisville, where I made my $400 a week, used to bring clients in and stand outside the window of the air studio and point and say, there's a $400 a week disc jockey. That guy's making 20 grand right there, that guy. So anyway, that's what they paid me to do the Now Explosion. And that was we had a lot of fun on that. I mean, I tell the story and I laugh and I smile because it was just a real great experience, because we created these videos for the songs just based on our own creativity. There was no record company or record artist supplying us with the videos. We had to make the videos, and it was all based on our own creativity. We would do Dick Clark bandstand kind of dance things with the camera zooming in and out. We would do we would send our photographer down to Piedmont Park to photograph the lovers on the swing while the Commodore sang something or whatever it was. I remember my claim to fame as far as a producer of video was taking the song Bridge Over Troubled Water, going down to the Atlanta Atlanta Library and borrowing a 30-minute film on the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and interweaving that as the video for the audio of Bridge Over Troubled Waters. And in the bridge of the song, bringing up Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech in Washington. And I thought that was, I mean, if I look back at it now, it might not be as good as I remember it, but I thought it was damn good at the time. But anyway, that was the, you know, and we had some artists. We had Bobby Sherman. We had Kenny Rogers. Whenever these guys came into town, we would somehow corral them and bring them into the studio and have them sing a few songs. And those kind of became our anchor songs. Now, here's Bobby Sherman, 1, 2, 3. And then we play that every hour, maybe, or something, you know. But it was great fun. And, of course, God knows, the way it petered out was as much as a story as the way it began. I mean, you know, backing a truck up to a TV station on Briarcliff Road at 2 o'clock in the morning and filling it up with all of our videotapes, and then having the truck driver drive to we wanted to go to Miami, but to avoid being caught in Georgia, he drove to Alabama and went south down through Alabama and caught Florida down there in the panhandle and went down that way to Miami because they didn't want to get caught in Macon or Valdosta or somewhere in Georgia. So, I mean, God, Whitney should write a book about this, I guarantee, because, I mean, I would buy it just to laugh.
Do you remember that night?
Yeah, I do remember that night.
Was it raining?
Well, I don't remember much other than it was raining. We backed the truck up and we went in there, and these two or three guys who were on the control board, they didn't know what the hell was going on, and we just brushed right through them and started pulling armloads of tapes from the studio out to the truck. And I think they finally kind of maybe realized what we were doing at the end, but by that time we had the truck loaded and locked it up, and zoom, it was gone. Down to Miami, to Fort Lauderdale, where we had a deal down there. Whitney had lined up this station down there, or this studio down there. They were going to let us produce the show down there that he was then sending out to all these stations around the country.
Were you at 36 when the cops came?
I don't remember that.
Some of us left before the cops
came. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But it was great shit. You think about it, man. It was great. 1970, here we were, just kids too, you know. Basically, I mean, what was I in 1970? 30 years old.
Well, the music was pretty good, don't you think?
Oh, the music was good. And you know, I was saying earlier about whenever I hear an oldie anymore, I think of what station I was at when I played it. Whenever I hear some of the songs that we've recorded and used in the Now Explosion, I now can remember pretty much the video. And whenever I hear one of these songs and one of these commercials on TV selling these oldies, Spirit in the Sky, I remember that. I remember the video to that, you know, and Bridge Over Troubled Waters and War, remember that song. And then there was the song about that Crosby, Stills and Nash did about the kids getting shot in Ohio, remember that. And those, I remember the songs that we did.
Yeah. Sure, we had some political stuff in there.
Oh yeah.
Here it was just after the 60s.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was 19.
Well, it was 19. Black guy dancing against the background of cops going by.
Right. Yeah. And it was 1970, right in the crunch of the Vietnam War. I mean, there were some issues.
And there was no templates. Nobody had ever done music videos.
Right. Right, no template, exactly. No, there was nobody told us what had to be done. Nobody said what it had to be looked like. It was just, well, let's do this. And R.G. Williams, who helped produce a lot of it, he was a pretty creative guy too. And Bob Todd went out and just lured people in. He would go down to the hippie district on Peachtree Street, 14th Street down there, and you want to be on TV? Yeah, okay, come to this look, and then they'd come. Bring a bathing suit. A bathing suit? Yeah, because you're going to be go-go dancers. Okay. And so they would show up, and all of a sudden they were on TV. And they were on a stage. Hey, this is pretty good. I can do this. They loved it.